How great speakers speak. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. How great speakers speak. It has been my privilege recently to attend some motivational lectures by some rather remarkable people and some rather ordinary people. Now, the remarkable people were very special, remarkable, because they were in love with their topic. And the topic usually was themselves. Now, the ordinary people, the ordinary speakers, were the ones who were pitching something, who were trying to get you to buy something, who were trying to get you to invest in their program. And somehow they just came across as an investment program. They didn't come across as an interesting topic that would change your life. They didn't come across as an interesting subject that you wanted to hear more of. They came across as a salesman doing his selling job. How do great speakers speak? Well, they're very careful to choose the positive aspects of their life. They're very careful to choose the positive attitudes of what they're doing. Now, if they're going to refer to some failure that they made, which shows that they're human, if they're going to refer to some thing that they did not accomplish, that they set out to accomplish, just to show that they too made mistakes, the audience did not really appreciate it. The audience didn't appreciate it because they had enough of those failures, those not accomplishing the things they wanted to accomplish themselves. They didn't need to hear from this famous person how he didn't do it. Oh, sometimes you hear from a famous person some the struggles that they made, and you said, oh yeah, I understand that. I've been there too. I know how tough that is, and I guess he experienced that too. Now, does that help you to believe in this person more? Not really. The person who is speaking about his successful attitude in life. He's speaking about why he is so successful. That's because he kept his mind one-pointed on the successful concepts that were important to him. Not because he dwelt upon the failures or the inefficiencies of his past. It's because he dwelt upon the happiness. He dwelt upon his integrity, his enthusiasm. Can you really be a great speaker? How great speakers speak? Well, first, a great speaker speaks with integrity in the subject. He stays with the subject. The subject is to be a positive expression, not to be a negative expression. The subject is to be something desirable, something wonderful. Now, if a nation is having trouble with their business or their world or whatever they're doing, we don't go over there and saying, you're having trouble with what you're doing. We go over and say, here is another way of looking at it. Here is another way of success. Now, if you choose to look at it from this point of view, I'd be very happy as a nation to invest in you and help you to accomplish your goal. Or if you go to a nation that is having trouble with its brother, its neighbor, and you say to them, stop it, that's not right. They don't really want to hear that. They know it's not right. They know that it's very unsuccessful. They know that it's not the thing to do, but they're doing it. Now, what you should do or could do is you could be a diplomat and you could go in there and show them another way. You could show them another way of looking at what they have been looking at. Sometimes we're looking at things in a way that has been self-righteous, and usually that's the biggest key of all, self-righteous. And because we're looking at it from a self-righteous point of view, we're not seeing what is really most beneficial for us, for the world, and where everyone would be happy. But when we have integrity, in the subject that we're doing, that's what we're interested in. I'm interested in learning mathematics. So 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 5. No, not 2 times 2 is 5. Not 2 times 2 is 5, 2 times 2 is 4. See, you don't say, no, not 2 times 2 is 5. You say, 2 times 2 is 4. Now, you want to learn mathematics? In this scale of mathematics, 2 times 2 is 4. Now, perhaps in some other look at the mathematical scheme, it might be a 2 times 2 is 5. But in the scheme that we're working on, it's 2 times 2 is 4. Now, 2 times 2 is 5 is not wrong for us, but it is not right for us. So we concentrate on what is right for us. With our integrity, we look at whatever we're doing, and we see it from what is right for us. What is for our highest and best? What is the most ideal thing that we can do? And as we think of that, as we think of what is the most ideal thing for us to do, we come up with some pretty wonderful concepts. Back to mathematics. You're learning mathematics. Okay, 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 8 is 16. You go on those, on the 2s, and you go on the 3s, and you go on the 4s. Then you go into division. Then you go into subtraction, multiplication. You go into division, and you go into square root, and you go into all these things. I heard you repeated things several times there. Yeah, that's right. Because you don't just stay with one avenue of learning. You go with all the avenues of learning, all of the possibilities that the mathematical field can help you with, all the possibilities that the positive thinking can help you with, all the possibilities that getting along with your neighbor in a beneficial way can be helpful. Perhaps your neighbor can grow something you can't grow, and perhaps you can grow something your neighbor can't grow, and together you can cooperate and produce the materials so that each of you has the benefit of it. Now, what is the integrity of the subject? The integrity of the subject is happiness. The integrity of the subject is getting along with yourself and getting along with your neighbor. The integrity is that you like this world, and it's a very wonderful world, and you're happy to be in it. And you want every moment you spend in this world to be a joyous, uplifting, supportive, wonderful experience. And so it is. But it's only that way when you have integrity in your subject. Now, enthusiasm in your subject is equally very important. Enthusiasm in your subject tells you what you're trying to accomplish, what you're seeking to achieve, what you're seeking to bring forth. Do you have enthusiasm in your subject? Do you get excited about what you're doing? Hey, this is wonderful. This is a great new idea. I like this. You know, he showed me a new way to play golf. He said, don't go looking at the ball. Don't go looking where you don't want the ball to go. Don't say, there's a rough out there, and there's a fairway out there, and there's a sand trap. Say, the ball goes right where I want it to go. Now, you got to believe in yourself that you can have a good drive, or you can have a good movement with the ball, that it can go a good distance. But if you have a belief that that distance is a limited distance, then plan your stroke in harmony with that distance. One day you'll change it, because they change the 4-minute mile, they change many other things, and now it becomes normal to do these things. And pretty soon, they'll do it even better. And pretty soon, they will come up with that neat thing, being there. Wow, being there. Okay, now that's the way you want to look at your golf game, being there. So you see where you want to put your ball, and you put it there. You see where you want your ball to go, and you put it there. And it goes there. And many times you will take something and throw it carelessly and say, you're throwing it into the sink. And it goes right in the sink. A dishcloth or a rag or something. And then another time, you think, oh, I'd like to put this in the sink, but I don't know if I can reach it. So you fall short. Another time, you put so much energy into it, you go beyond it. But why is it that it went into the sink the one time that you just casually threw it over there into the sink? Why did you accomplish something one time and other times you didn't? Well, one time you let go and let the divine possibility in you be the reality in you. You let go and let it be. So you're hitting the ball and you knock the ball out into the field and it goes right where you want it to go. Right in the middle between the rough and the fairway and the sand traps and so forth. It goes right where you want it to go. It makes it an exciting game to have it go right where you want it to go because people think, oh, it's going to go in the wrong place. But you know better because you, in your enthusiasm, you, in your integrity, you, in your keeping your mind one-pointed on what you want to accomplish, can accomplish it. Now, great speakers keep their mind one-pointed on what they want to accomplish. And what they want to accomplish, they want to get you excited about what they're excited about. They want to get you excited about what they are excited about. And they can get you excited about what they are excited about so long as they stay excited about what they are excited about. If they start thinking, how can they manipulate your mind? How can they run your mind, control your mind, direct your mind to accomplish the goal they have in mind, they're in trouble. But if they think, oh, this is a great idea, I want to tell them about this beautiful idea, I want to share with them this beautiful idea, it is so wonderful. Your enthusiasm, your drive, your feeling of greatness, your feeling of goodness about what it is you're talking about will come right home to the listener. That's what a great speaker does. A great speaker is not manipulating the audience. A great speaker is, in fact, manipulating himself. He is putting every thought, every concept, every idea of his mind in harmony with that program that he is attempting to share with somebody else. And how can you share that you had a beautiful time by saying it was wonderful, it was beautiful? How can you share you had a beautiful time? Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we had a good time. But it doesn't sound like it was a good time. It doesn't sound very wonderful. Well, it was better than normal, better than average. Well, how much better? Well, actually, I guess it was a lot better. But why is it you don't have any enthusiasm? Well, I don't know. Well, get some enthusiasm about what you're talking about. Get some enthusiasm in what you're saying. And when you do, then your audience, then you first, but then you and your audience will have enthusiasm for whatever it is you're speaking about. And this was what the great Chautauqua speakers did as they gave lectures in the early days before television, radio, and stuff. They would speak to large groups of people, and they would get out there, and they would speak on subjects that pleased them, on subjects which they were prepared for, on subjects which were very interesting. And this is why debates had always been so popular. People who were excited about taking the positive or the negative aspect of a debate. Can you just take a negative aspect of a debate that you don't really feel negative about, but you can feel that it's a possibility? Okay, let's say we should have more beans for supper. Okay, now, why should we have more beans for supper? Well, beans, and then you go on in a positive, wonderful way of saying why beans have been proven so beneficial, that they're so healthy, they're so a universal food, they're a universal essence that covers all the body's needs and so forth. Now, you're given the negative. And so you're supposed to speak against beans. And you like beans, but you're supposed to speak against beans. Okay. The first thing you think about being against beans is that flatulence, they cause you to have air and lead farts. And that's not a nice thing. And you think to yourself, well, okay, then that's not what I really want to talk about. What is it that beans might be an undesirable thing for beans? Well, the thing is, beans are grown in this area. And to get the beans from that area to this area, they have to go through a shipping process. And the shipping process is a difficult thing because the trains don't run as regularly as they should, the trucks don't run as regularly as they should, and the beans sometimes spoil in the process. And so what the merchants must learn to do, because the beans spoil in the process and do not ship well, they must learn how to preserve those beans. They must learn how to prepare those beans so that they will be able to be shipped. They must learn how to freeze them, or how to boil them, or how to can them, or how to, in some way, prepare those beans so that they can ship well. Now, you're talking about a negative aspect of the subject, and someone else talks about the positive aspect about it. Well, the negative aspect about the subject can be just as positive, just as wonderful as the positive aspect, but taken from solving a problem and coming up with a solution. Now, the negative aspect would say, you don't want a solution. You don't want a solution. You want to just tell the problems, tell the problems. Well, why? A good debate is a person who can tell why you should have it, and another tell why you shouldn't. We do not have the ability to can the beans. We don't have the ability to bake the beans, to boil the beans, to put the beans in some kind of a saucer, or to freeze them. And until that is available, then we have a problem. And so the problem can be solved very easily by just freezing all the beans. And you say, well, all right, let's develop a freezer that can freeze the beans and make them ready to be shared. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, frozen beans, how about that? And how could you take them home then and keep them? You got to put them in the freezer too. Well, then what you're talking about is canned beans. So they're available for years on end. You just can these beans and they're in their cans and they're good for so many years. And fantastic. Well, who wants canned beans around for so many years? You see, you can have the negative, you can have the positive. But when you're excited about your subject, all sorts of ideas come into your mind as to how you can put across your subject, your ideal, your dream with integrity and enthusiasm so that the audience will just want to participate in thinking about what you're talking about. Now, the audience could leave the theater or leave the hall after you're done talking or leave your presence, and they might think to themselves, well, that was interesting talking about beans, but I don't know that I would ever need that knowledge. And then you go home, and when you go home, your family says, uh-oh, we're having company for dinner, and we don't have enough ready-made food in the house. What are we going to do? And then you say, well, we got 12 cans of beans down in the fruit cellar. And, wonderful. Well, let's make a bean salad. Let's make and all sorts of ideas come forth. And before you know it, you have created something very beautiful out of what might have been just an offhanded nothingness. But with enthusiasm, with integrity, you can accomplish anything. With a joy in your heart, you can fulfill any proposition you want, and you can bring it forth and do it as you like. Regardless how often these great speakers are speaking, the great speakers always come across as though it's brand new and fresh to them and to you. And this is truly an art. It is an art to make it sound as though your subject is brand new, even though it's the biography of your life, the autobiography of life. Just even though you're talking about something so dear to your heart that it's been you all of your life. Can you do that? Can you have that enthusiasm? Can you do that about it? Well, yes, if you really like your life. Whenever you tell the story, are you telling it with a freshness to it, or are you telling it as though it had been told a dozen times before? Great speakers make everything they say sound as though they're telling it for the first time, and you are the first person to hear what they have to say. Ho, 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 ho. How wonderful that is. Great speakers make you feel important. They make you feel that they're speaking just to you. They make you feel that what they're having to say is something so important, so wonderful, so fantastic, that you don't dare miss one word, and so they articulate clearly. They do not speak so quickly that you find it difficult to understand what they're saying. They articulate clearly. They act and speak as though what they have to say is truly important, is truly magnificent. I listened to a Queen Victoria film the other night, and as I listened to it, Queen Victoria was speaking in a voice and in a manner that was not very clear or beautiful. It was okay. It was a normal voice for a girl, but it was not articulated as though she were a person who always was definite and always was positive. Now, some of the other speakers, some of the other women, some of the other men, they spoke articulately and positively, and you enjoyed listening to them because you could understand them and because you were sold by what they had to say, because what they had to say and do came through to you as something utterly magnificent and utterly fantastic. Great speakers, how do they speak? They're in love with their presentation. They're in love with what they have to share, and they articulate what they have to share. They have this ability to speak, this ability to enunciate, this ability to activate their thinking powers and their creative imagination so that the listener feels, wow, this is the greatest talk I have ever heard. Man, that's a wonderful, I'd like to know more about that person. I'd like to know that speaker better. That speaker speaks with such enthusiasm, with such joy, with such happiness, with such integrity. Man, that's great. And he is a great person, and she is a great person, and they are great people. Yes, they're in love with their presentation. And as they're in love with their presentation, all the audience listens, sitting on the edge of their seat, waiting for the next idea to be expostulated. They're just waiting and ready for that speaker to put forth the ideas they have in their mind, to articulate the ideas, and they're ready to hear them. They're ready to hear them. And finally, how great speakers speak. Each great speaker is in love with himself. Each great speaker is in love with themselves. They are not in love with anybody else. Oh, perhaps they do love other people, but they are in love with themselves. They're in love with who they are. They're in love with their marvelous ability to present ideas, to present topics, and have people sit and listen and want more and more and more, never wanting to get up. Never wanting to get up. When they give lectures, the lecture is an hour lecture, and after the end of the hour lecture, the people are just sitting there and not wanting to applaud, not wanting to do anything to stop the flow. They just say, yes, and they want you to go on and go on. And they want you to come, sometimes go on for 2 or 3 hours. Yes. Now you say, anyone in their right mind as a speaker would surely not put that sort of a burden on an audience. Well, when the audience is ready for that sort of a exciting adventure, don't stop. When the audience is bored and begins to leave and yawning and looking at their watches, you should have stopped a long time before. But great speakers get their audience so harmonious with themselves, so one with themselves. They captivate their audience in such a beautiful manner that the speaker and the audience are one. And whatever the speaker is talking about, it makes no difference at all. The audience is enchanted. The audience listens with great enthusiasm and great joy. The audience buys the message 100%. How great speakers speak? Great speakers speak from the heart. And as great speakers speak from the heart, great speakers reveal exactly what they have in their mind, exactly what they want to accomplish, and they accomplish it. Can you be a great speaker? Yes, you can. But to be a great speaker doesn't mean that you have a great subject, that you have a great voice, that you have a great topic to bring forth to your people. It does mean that you love yourself, you love your subject, and you love the people you're presenting it to. And you give it to them with your highest integrity and your greatest enthusiasm. And you're in love with your audience, and you're in love with your subject, but mostly you're in love with yourself. How great speakers speak? With a smile in their heart. I love you. I love you. I love you.